Accession number 20972, Real 1.
John Redfern, Real 1. Where were you born, please?
Uttoxeter, Staffordshire.
Which year was this?
1918.
Did both your mother and father come from Uttoxeter?
My mother was a Bamford, and she was lived at Old Fields Hall, Uttoxeter. My father was a merchant, a seaman, petty officer on board the South American boats, and used to come from on the borders of Wales and England, and they met during the war in 1917, and they got married 1918. Can we scrub that?
No, it's all right. You just correct it.
I correct that. She must have met my... He must have met my mother in 1916, because they married in 1917, and I was born in January 1918.
Where did you go to school?
I went to local schools in Richmond here until I was aged 6. Then I went down to St. Anthony's School, Eastbourne, in 1926, during the strike. And we went by car, because there was no other method of transport. It was a Catholic prep school, amongst all the schools in Eastbourne.
And how old were you when you finished your schooling?
My schooling, I was 18 when I finished my schooling. but after St. Anthony's, I went up to Ampleforth College in Yorkshire, and was there between 1932 and 1936, and I left at the end of the summer term, 1936.
Did you get a job?
I was working with my father, who had a small shipping agency in London, at Holborn. It was mainly transshipment in London through the P&O from Norway, Sweden, ball bearings, wood, etc. And this developed then to the United States via London, by the United States lines. And also as an offshoot, we used to do holidays. We became a sort of, as you'd say, a travel agency in those days. And our biggest customer being Wigston Hall, is it there? The Masonic headquarters on the corner.
Did you join the TA before the war?
I did not. Oh, as you were. Yes, I did. I was ordered by I spoke to my parents about joining the TA because I realized that something was going to happen, and I wished to be prepared, because at school I was in the OTC and passed out top of my particular lot. So I thought I would continue. I got my Certificate A, and there was a local East Surrey branch down at the Drill Hall in Richmond. And also next door to it, there was a Searchlight company as well. And I spoke to my parents about this, and they said under no circumstances was I to join up.
Why did they say that?
My father was not happy because he was thinking about the 1418 war when people were just cannon fodder and nothing else. Anyway, one day I was wandering around there in the evening, and I thought, well, I don't know, I'll go in. And I went to the Searchlight Company and asked whether it was possible to join up there. And I told them I got Cert A and that I'd done military training at school. And the sergeant there said, well, he said, you'll join the ranks and see how you go from there. I said, my training, in other words, is no use to you. He said, no. I said, all right, thank you very much. I'll let you know. And I went next door to the East Surreys and was met by great character. And he said, what do you want? I said, I may wish to join you. He said, oh, come in. And I discovered he was the bartender for the bar there. And he said, you better come in and see the commanding officer. And he said, I said, oh, and you're going to receive the king's shilling for this, are you? He said, yes, I get my shilling for recruiting you if you join up. I said, all right. And he took me in, and I went to the officer's mess and met the CO and told him what I had told the previous people, that I had my Cert A and that I knew all the basics of the infantry tactics of withdrawals, advances, and drill. And he said, well, I'm interested. He said, we are short, and we could offer you a commission in the Surreys if we think you're suitable. And so he took me into the main drill hall there, where there was a lot of bodies, and he called a Sergeant Adams to me, and he said, Sergeant Adams, take this gentleman to your squad and put him in command and make him do some drill movements with your blokes. So I was taken there and put in charge of about 30 bodies with rifles, and I was asked to march them up and down, do some arms drill, correct them, and do what I wanted to do for about 5 or 10 minutes, which I did do. And he said, right, that is sufficient. Stand them at ease, stand easy, which I did. I asked them to do. And he said, right, thank you very much, and now come back with me. And I was taken into the mess and met quite a number of officers there. And I introduced, and he said, this will be, I hope, another member of the mess. I said, I've been accepted. He said, yes. He said, we'll get you a commission. I said, well, thank you very much. And that's when I joined up in 1937.
What kind of experience did you have with TA before the war?
a very pleasant time in the pubs and tactical exercises without troops, flags, no bodies, flags representing sections, platoons, companies. Our main recruitment was from the Watney Brewery, and they were very, very good blokes. Of course, they used to come in about 8 o'clock at night, but they'd been in Watney Brewery all the day, and it was quite an eye-opener.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I was on Chatham Station when this happened, because we had been called up about a fortnight before the main call-up, and we had been distributed to guard vulnerable points, tunnels, stations, and factories. Air factories and other factories making possible munitions and armaments in the area of the Chatham area. And we were all gathered together on the main London platform when Churchill made his announcement.
Chamberlain.
And then about 3 minutes afterwards, the air sirens went, and we thought, oh well, an air attack. But we didn't bother very much. We did see one or two aircraft in the sky, but we didn't pay much attention to them, and then the all clear went.
Which battalion was this?
This was the 6th Battalion, the East Surrey Regiment. DA.
How did you feel about the war declaration?
My feeling was that it had to be, but what was in store, we didn't know. I mean, it was I don't say it was elation or anything, I think it was sadness more than anything else that it had come to this, but we were expecting it.
Did you stay in England or go to France?
We stayed in England until when was it? Until 1940. Then embarked for France in March 1940 to go as pioneers, and we went to Le Havre.
Is this still the 6th Battalion?
Oh yes, with the East Surreys. We were supposed to be part of the Pioneer Battalion, but we were we were then distributed by companies to various areas. My particular company, A Company, we went to a chateau just outside Le Havre for training. All the other companies went to bakeries, pioneer work at the docks, or one company went up to Saint-Malo for look after gas shells, etc.
What kind of training were you doing at Le Havre?
Le Havre, company training, attack, defense against German landings there, local patrols against Fifth Column, and all that sort of thing, just general exercises.
Did you come across any fifth columnists?
We did not know, but we knew they were about.
What happened when the Germans attacked on the 10th of May?
On the 10th of May, well, the miles away from it didn't really affect us at all. They, all we heard was that things were, that they got through the
defences?
Defences, the French defences and things, but they didn't affect us because we were right at Le Havre anyway, miles away from the scene of it. And things just continued, unloading ships and carrying on with our general exercises.
But what happened when the Germans started to approach?
Well, we had orders then that we were to join the 1st Armoured Brigade as their infantry, and that we were to proceed from Le Havre to join up with the British Army in Calais. We had brand new vehicles. We were fully equipped with vehicles, ammunition, not so hot. We were given 50 rounds of ammunition. We had no mortar bombs. We had no anti-tank rifle ammunition. We had no signals. Just the ordinary signal wire to lay wires for signalling. And we were not really trained to a degree that we should have been. But we didn't mind about that at the time. I, as an officer, I never was equipped with binoculars, pistol, or anything to do with officer equipment. I had a rifle and bayonet, same as everybody else, and 50 rounds of ammunition. And I was a platoon commander, 32 blokes, and they were excellent people. They were First National Service, university, aged about 28, with my NCOs who were from the 1st Battalion of the East Surrey Regiment.
What age would they have been?
About 28. They were the first people to be called up, but they were all ex-university.
Which platoon was this?
Yes.
Which platoon?
Oh, this was A platoon, A company, number 7 platoon. That was my platoon, 7 platoon.
So you were heading towards Calais?
And they were heading for Calais. And we got as far as... Can I stop for a moment?
Let's make it clear that you were with the 2nd 6th Battalion.
I was with the 2nd 6th Battalion, the East Surrey Regiment. The 1st 6th had gone into Belgium with the 1st Battalion. And we, the 2nd 6th, were not so hot as or supposed to be. No, it's not so hot. We hadn't had the training, and but nevertheless, they as a last resort, we had to go into action. And C Company got as far as the Somme when they were. Went into a town and discovered the Germans were in there, and the Queen's Regiment was in there, and they were getting beaten to hell. bombed and everything, and so C Company withdrew and reported back to our CO what the position was, and that cancelled our trip to Calais, and we had to take up a position from Le Tropor down on the Brelle, which we did, and I met the brigadier there at the time, and with the CO, and he explained to me what the position was, and that we had to do our damnedest to prevent the Germans from coming along any further. Anyway, we were not there for more than a few hours when we were given orders to move back, which we did to Dieppe. And at Dieppe, we went, took up positions on the right of Dieppe on the hills there, covering the main road down south from Le Tropor down to the other ports, Dieppe and etc. And while we were there, we had a fantastic view of the Stukas bombing three Red Cross ships, deliberately bombing them as they were loading up with wounded, hitting two and causing a lot of casualties. And then we moved back from there to Rouen, to the race course, where we regrouped and had a rest for about 7 days. And then we were told we had to go forward and take up a position covering anti-tank guns of the Royal Artillery, two-pounder anti-tank guns, and to relieve the South Wales borderers. And we arrived at this place called Aumale. Previously, again, I had to go and collect the battalion ammunition for this particular exercise. And I went off with Major Spearing, MC, and he told me to go and collect the ammunition from an ammunition dump, which I did. And I went to the sergeant and gave him the list, and he looked at it, and he said, "You're not getting all this." I said, "Why not?" He said, "I haven't got it." So I said, "Well, what are you going to give me?" He said, "I'll give you 50 rounds of ammunition and 500 rounds per Bren gun." I said, "What about all the other stuff, the mortars, anti-tanks?" He said, "Sorry, haven't got any." So anyway, he gave me the ammunition for the battalion, and I reported back to the rendezvous of the battalion headquarters and handed it all over, and then proceeded to find my platoon and the company, and which was now at Aumale, a place called Aumale. And Captain Thompson, who was my company commander, Captain Thompson, MC, was my company commander, and he told me that I had to take up the left flank covering the Aumale South Road and the Aumale East Road. and that I had a 5 mile line to keep with 32 men and 4 guns. I had 4 guns to thing. We relieved the South Wales Borderers, who went off on another assignment, and we found the guns in the position, and we had to cover them. And I had 4 guns. I had 32 blokes, but I only had 3 sections. So the 4th section I made up by including myself as a section commander, my platoon sergeant, my runner, and I took 1 man from each section, which made up my section. And I took the left flank section. And then I put another where there was 1 gun. And then there was the other gun was another section, and 2 more guns, 1 section apiece. And they had 20 rounds of solid. That's all. They had nothing else to cover the whole my 5 mile stretch of land. And we settled down, dug trenches. We were in a wood, well hidden. We had the reconnaissance German planes over at 6 o'clock on the dot every morning, looking for enemy positions. But I told my blokes that they are under no circumstances were to go out in the open at any time. We had to stick in the woods. This was obeyed to the letter, this order. And we had we stayed there for about a week. We were not in communication with anybody at all. I had no communication whatsoever with any of my company headquarters or any other section. If I wanted to communicate, which is what I did, I found a bicycle, and I used to cycle round my positions on my bicycle. And one day I thought I'd try and find company headquarters, but I didn't take my bicycle. I was going to tramp across the fields. And as I was tramping across an open field, I heard a bang. And I thought, well, I don't know. Anyway, the next thing I was, boom! And I shot to the ground and kept down to the ground. And nothing to be seen or anything at all. So I didn't bother. Anyway, I got up, and as I got up, by my leg was a sort of horseshoe, the size of a horseshoe in a round thing, and I picked it up, and it was brand hot. I dropped it immediately, and it was lying against my leg. So I assumed it was a French air shot from a 75, and I don't know what they were shooting at the time. But anyway, I gave up the job of trying to find company headquarters and went back to my section. And then, in the meantime, during the 7 days, we'd had dive bombing. They dive bombed Omal Station, wrecked it, and caused a lot of casualties, and the railway, which ran just south of us. But they never found my position. They never bombed me. Or machine gunned me, or any of my positions. But we were close to the scene anyway. Then I'm on the 7th of June. I was walking about, and suddenly a whole lot of French people came in, armed Frenchmen, motorcycles, sidecars with guns and everything else. And I said to one of the French people, I said, "What goes on? Why are you here?" He said, "We're counterattacking." I said, "What are you counterattacking?"